I'm going to cover in this talk, and I'll try to make it brief and concise and applicable to you in your e-commerce ventures. I'm going to touch on trademark, copyright, and patent law. These areas all impact what you're doing, and on each of these subjects, I teach entire law school courses, so necessarily this is going to be distilled down a good bit. Let's start with trademarks, and you have to know a little bit of basic trademark principles in order to understand what we're dealing with here. But again, if you're involved in getting domain names, etc., you're involved in trademark law whether you realize it or not. And at some time in the past, I would get a call approximately every 6 months, and then it became once a month, and now we're up to several times a week. Someone will call with a domain name related problem or dispute or conflict. How can you recognize these types of problems? When do you know that you're in the territory where you might encounter a trademark problem? Well, let's talk about a few trademark basis principles to start out with. First of all, what is a trademark? A trademark can be any word or symbol or combination of those things which performs one indispensable function. It can distinguish the products of one vendor from those of all others. For example, great trademarks that are out there, and there are many others, I just choose these as examples, Exxon brand gasoline, a great trademark. It distinguishes one particular company's gasoline and other petroleum products from all others. Xerox brand copiers. We're all familiar with the Mercedes-Benz hood ornament design. You see that, you know that's a Mercedes-Benz automobile as opposed to some other company's automobiles. In a rather esoteric case, we have even the color pink, which is registered for insulation from a particular company. Each of those shares the characteristic that it has the capacity of saying, this is a product, or in the case of services, like the name of a life insurance company, for example, services from one particular vendor, distinguishing it from all others. So when you're selecting your trademarks, when you're selecting your domain names, when you're trying to decide whether it's ownable or protectable as a trademark, ask yourself, can it distinguish me from everyone else? Now, following on that same idea, what can never be a trademark? Something which merely says what the product or service is can never be a trademark. You can't own it, you can't protect it, and neither can anyone else. If you go out and want to start manufacturing light bulbs and you come to me and say, you know, I'd really like to lock up the word light bulb for my light bulbs, can't do it. That belongs to the public, that belongs to everyone. That word is simply what the product is. You cannot protect that. In our areas, perhaps, internet access. Say, I want to trademark internet access for my internet access company. Can't do it, that's generic. So many of the things that people come to me and ask me to protect, we simply can't protect. They don't qualify because they can't distinguish one vendor's products or services from another. One of the bigger areas of trouble for people involved in business of all kinds, and certainly in this area, is what does it take to infringe a trademark? Actually, it takes a lot less than you might think. It doesn't mean that people have to be confused. It doesn't mean that consumers have to go to one company and accidentally buy products thinking that they're buying them from another. It doesn't mean that anything actually need happen in terms of confusion. All that it takes to establish trademark infringement, and again, this applies in the internet area, is you must establish that there is merely a likelihood that consumers will be confused. Merely a likelihood. That's a pretty low threshold to clear. Now, another thing that we have to look at is people come and they say, I want to register such and such a mark, I want to protect such and such a mark, and it's not the same as anyone else's. And I say, well, that's not the question. Are they close enough? Are any number of factors present that might lead to confusion? Two marks don't have to be identical to infringe. Some of you may recall there used to be a chain of auto parts stores known as Auto Shack. That was too close to Radio Shack. That's a surprise to a lot of people. You see, the common stem of Shack was enough to make a significant number of people believe that the two companies were somehow under the umbrella of the Tandy Corporation. So, when the client comes in and says, well, I'm capitalizing mine and the other company isn't, I've changed the spelling a little bit, I'm not doing it in the same logo design, say, well, that's something to consider, but that's not the end of the equation. There's also no percent change rule. I hear that a lot. I've changed mine up 10%. That clears it, right? There's no such thing as a percent change rule. We have to look at not only the marks themselves, but a number of factors, which I'll actually go through in just a minute in more detail, in determining that ultimate question, is there a likelihood of confusion on the part of the typical consumer? So, these basic principles, trademark law now meets the internet. If you use a domain name and you fall into what I would call the trap for many people of any number of trademark enforcement schemes, you may be in an infringing situation and not even realize it. One of the biggest misleading events is you go to the domain name registry, you go to internet solutions, internet, whatever, and you are granted this .com or this .net. They say it's yours, and you think, great, it was available. I can go use this. Not necessarily true. The domain name registries do not check to see if your use of the domain name that you've now paid your fee, it's issued to you, you own it, would infringe someone else's trademark rights. If it's not exactly like someone else's, it pretty much issues, and you think you're fine until you get perhaps some nasty letter from a trademark attorney somewhere, or worse yet, you get served with a lawsuit. Owning a domain name does not trump other people's trademark rights. Just as incorporating under a particular name, you go to the Secretary of State of your particular state and you incorporate under a name, you think, I'm fine, the state said I'm okay, I can incorporate under that name. Does that mean you can use it? Does that mean you can put it on the building? Print it on your stationery? Absolutely not. Not if to do so would infringe someone else's trademark rights. Trademark rights win in the end when it comes to the name game. The domain name game, the corporate name game, the product name game, trademark rights win in the end. Now, I don't know, I haven't checked recently, but hypothetically, if you went to internet and found that Dell.net were available as a domain name, do you think for a minute you could use it as your domain name on the web and sell computers? Not a chance. There would be likelihood of confusion. You'd get sued, you'd lose. There are lots of domain names that are available, but you can't touch them. But the domain name registries will not tell you that. Now, if you are a trademark owner, or if you start to use a domain name and you run afoul of the rights of some other trademark owner, there are many tools that are available for either you to use offensively or to be used against you, depending on which chair you're sitting in. Just traditional trademark infringement claims. If you use a domain name, whatever it is, .com, and someone else believes that your use would create a likelihood of confusion in relation to their trademark rights, they will have their attorneys go down this list of considerations. How distinctive is the mark? Are we talking about Exxon, or are we talking about internet access or something in between? We have to look at how similar the marks are. That is a consideration, but it's not the end of the consideration. We have to look at how similar the goods and services are. Are we talking about computers versus network products? Are we talking about computers versus makeup? That all comes into play. Good or bad faith of the latecomer. Did they know about the prior uses? We look into that in trademark infringement actions. The existence of actual confusion. Again, it doesn't answer the question, but it's something we look at. And in the .com realm, the courts pay particular attention to whether or not the alleged infringing domain name is at the first level, if it's trademark.com as opposed to some sub-level. So as you can see, the analysis of whether or not something is infringing is quite complicated. It's not something that you can just simply look at with no training and no background and say, oh, we're fine, or we have a problem. There's a lot that goes into it. So a traditional trademark infringement action is one thing. We also have the Federal Trademark Dilution Act. That says that even if there isn't necessarily a likelihood of confusion, but if you use a mark, let's say Exxon.net, for example, and Exxon can prove that their mark is famous, which I can assure you they would, And number two, that your use of the domain names in some way diminishes the distinctiveness. In other words, they can prove that people might start to believe, well, maybe there's more than one Exxon. Maybe Exxon isn't, the Exxon we all know, isn't the only user of that mark. It dilutes the distinctiveness. The Federal Trademark Dilution Act can make you stop standing alone. More recently, just last year, Congress passed, and it has been enacted into law, the Anti-Cyber-Squatting Consumer Protection Act. This is an interesting one, and this one has already bit a number of people with whom I have visited. This one provides that if you in bad faith, and bad faith can be established more easily than you might think, if you merely register and attempt to hold a domain name in bad faith, you can be ordered to surrender it and you can be assessed statutory damages up to $100,000. I didn't say you had to even use it. Please remember that. You don't even have to use it. So these people who go out and warehouse.coms to ransom out to the people who had the prior trademark rights, this was designed to deal with that. Don't go there. Lessons for trademark users, that is, domain name users in this context. Anytime you want to use a new or adopt a new domain name, treat it like any other trademark. Treat it like any other company name, any product name. Have it checked out by a competent trademark expert. I can assure you, getting it issued by the registry, incorporating under it, the courthouse accepting your DBA, all of those things mean absolutely nothing if someone out there has superior trademark rights. Have it checked out by someone who knows what they're doing in this area. And realize that the price of infringing a trademark might basically be all the business that you have developed under that name. Imagine going out, establishing a new website, developing a tremendous amount of business, and all of a sudden, overnight, some federal court issues an injunction and you can no longer use it. Now your customers can't find you. Your reputation is gone, all because you didn't know that to use that domain name was an infringement of someone else's rights. It may be every shred of business you've developed under that name. And if you have a domain name that is available, that's valuable, that's distinctive, you need to protect it. Don't just think about what other people do. You need to protect it. Get a federal trademark registration. Do the necessary steps so that when someone comes around and infringes your marks, your trademark rights, you have all the tools available at your disposal to protect your rights. Many, many companies fail to do that, and they regret it very, very badly later.
Well, Thomas Alvin.